We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I'll just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Top story tonight, a nation afflicted with unprecedented gun violence and systemic calamity is focused squarely on balloons. We cover it all in our new segment, Balloon 11, The Day the Mylar Fell. Since shooting down the original Chinese spy balloon, the greatest military in history continues to unleash its might against an invading armada of inflatable doohickeys, recently sending three additional balloons straight to hell. The nation is thrilled to finally face an opponent it can defeat, though modern balloon warfare is not easy. The U.S. military jet that downed an unknown object in the Michigan sky on Sunday missed on its first attempt. It wasn't clear where the missile that missed ultimately landed. The second missile took down the target. Each of the missiles cost more than $400,000. That sounds expensive until you consider the millions in healthcare costs if that balloon deflated, fell to Earth, and some guy ate it on a dare. Here is National Security Council Coordinator John Kirby calming a nation gripped by manufactured crisis.
They did not appear to have any self-propulsion. So the likely hypothesis is that they were being moved by the prevailing winds.
Kirby there using every lesson learned over his 28 years of decorated military service to explain how wind works. Kirby then appeared on CNN to warn our enemies that our $1 trillion defense apparatus has the tactical capability to seamlessly pivot to balloonovision.
The NORAD staff adjusted the parameters for the radar systems, the sensitivities, to look for things that were slow, high, and small. When you adjust your sensitivities on the radar, you're likely to see more of those kinds of contacts.
For those not familiar with military jargon, he said we set the settings to balloon, and now we see balloons. Joining me now to escape the clutches of the evil lord headlines by putting our analysis ship into hyperscoops is Democratic strategist who falls on the floor and rolls around laughing when a rich person tells her a joke, Lydia Parker.
Good evening.
Chief Washington Bureau Chief who's been sleeping in his car after the gas meter guy just kind of moved in, Jonathan Keane.
Hello.
Chief Field Correspondent who thinks French is just really fast English, James Smartwood Jr.
Hey, Dad.
And CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent and Tuning Out Contributor whose voice should only be allowed on TV after 10 p.m., Major Garrett. Thanks for joining us, Major.
Always a pleasure.
Whoa.
Great to have you back. Now, Major, let's start with you. What do these balloons want, and do they only understand force?
It's a really good day in Washington when senators and members of the Pentagon staff say, with all due seriousness, these were not aliens, so we can cross that off the list, at least for now. And it's important to note that for the Biden administration, the first balloon, now followed by three others, creates the opportunity. We would call that a balloon crisis. And all administrations like crises to resolve, even if they are balloon-shaped.
Look, we must modernize our military to fight the battles of the future. Our Defense Department needs a surface-to-air custodian.
Now, I just hope we don't rush to war like we did after Secretary Colin Powell showed the United Nations that vial of balloon.
I don't think we can limit our response to shooting trash out of the sky, which is why I've been going nuts on my recycling with a baseball bat.
Thank you so much for your service there, Junior.
Did the U.S. Air Force just shoot down a party balloon?
I gave the order to take down these three objects.
A group of balloon enthusiasts, teens, dads, and grandpas, say they believe their $12 balloon was the balloon shot down over Alaska by a $400,000 missile. They call themselves the Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade.
Now, speaking of purposeless aggression against non-threatening objects, the Republican Party and its media allies have been focusing on core conservative issues like candy commercials, gas stoves, and Disney rides. It paints the picture of a Republican Party that is lost and needs to do the inner work required to form a mature, healthy relationship with the American people. Here with advice is Dr. Orna Goralnik, a psychologist featured on the Showtime series Couples Therapy. Thank you so much for joining us, Doctor.
Hello.
Now, Doctor, we have, let's say, a friend looking for advice. They've been striking out a lot most recently in November. They're paranoid. They think everyone's attacking them, trying to replace them, rant on and on about Moana. How do you pull someone like that out of a tailspin?
It's not easy to get through to a person when they're in a paranoid state. A person in a paranoid state is obviously protecting something very fragile inside. So, you know, when you try to come at them directly, for example, with facts or trying to convince them logically or rationally about how irrational they may sound or how their fears might be irrational or how defensive they seem, that's not going to work. They're just going to get tighter and tighter and more defensive. As a psychoanalyst, one way that we think about it is that there's all sorts of vulnerabilities or injuries or bad feelings about the self or aggression that is not owned that the paranoid person needs to project onto their environment. Onto the person near them or onto a group. So they're constantly in a state of projecting to avoid their own vulnerability.
And I should also mention, you know, they're very hung up on their ex. He's this toxic, wealthy, unfaithful con man living in Palm Beach. I mean, sure, the sex was incredible, but how do they move on from that?
So their ex might have become an object of projection that they become obsessed with, yes?
Like their daddy. It's like a daddy figure.
Yeah, like a daddy figure or a mommy projection, but it's a projection of all sorts of stuff.
You don't look the same. been one very busy week, especially for Fox News, a network whose very name is a lie in that it provides neither news nor indeed foxes.
What does the fox say?
Now, you may remember they're currently being sued by Dominion Voting Systems, the company at the center of Trump's election conspiracy theories, theories which were repeatedly amplified by hosts on Fox. And in a legal filing made public this week, we got a glimpse at Fox's internal communications during that time.
Privately, top anchors and executives mocked Trump's lies, calling them ludicrous, really crazy stuff, and totally off the rails, even as those same hosts went on the air arguing completely otherwise.
All right, these election challenges are still going on, and disturbing irregularities have been found and must be investigated to the fullest.
Fox News stars and executives privately trashed the former president's election fraud claims, even though calling the election rigged was Fox's bread and butter.
Wow, if I were a Fox viewer, I'd feel pretty betrayed by that. This is like finding out that Big Bird regularly texts Elmo, "F them kids," and Elmo agrees.
These revelations all came courtesy of Dominion Voting Systems, who filed a motion in their $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit against Fox News for falsely claiming they rigged the 2020 election. $1.6 billion. Even for Rupert Murdoch, that's a lot of cash. He might have to go on air and start selling reverse mortgages. Some of the most damaging texts come from a chain between Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and Laura Ingraham, in which they repeatedly insulted and mocked the ex-president's advisors, including Rudy Giuliani. Even Fox thinks he's a joke. That is the most embarrassing news about Rudy to leak since Rudy leaked. Oldie but a goodie. One of the main sources of the election lies on Fox News was the former president's lawyer, Sidney Powell. In the wake of the 2020 election, Powell appeared on Fox News and Fox Business at least a dozen times to promote wild lies about Dominion voting machines. So the network asked for her source. And Sidney Powell, when pressed for evidence, forwarded a memo entitled Election Fraud Info. We all know the best source of information is email forwards. That's the only way I learn 101 ways that cats are better than men. The memo wasn't written by Powell, but her source was impeccable. The memo's author claims to know that Dominion was the common thread in all irregularities. How did she discover that? According to her, she gains insights from experiencing something like time travel in a semi-conscious state. Oh, my God. She can time travel? Maybe she can fix all of this by going back in time to stop baby Rudy Giuliani from trying Merlot. Two Rudys. It's Two Rudy Tuesday. It gets weirder than time traveling in a semi-conscious state. The memo's author writes, "Who am I? And how do I know all of this? I've had the strangest dreams. I was internally decapitated, and yet I live." You may ask yourself, how did I get here? And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. You may say to yourself, this is not my internally decapitated head. Elsewhere in this memo, which I remind you, is the sole source of Sidney Powell and Fox News' Dominion voting machine lies, which directly led to the attack on the Capitol, the author says, quote, "The wind tells me I'm a ghost, but I don't believe it." Of course you can't trust the wind. Everybody knows the wind blows. You cannot believe. Thank you. You can't believe a thing the wind says until you verify it with earth and fire. When Sidney Powell forwarded this memo to Fox business anchor Maria Bartiromo, Bartiromo had a very logical reaction to getting a packet of insane lies. She shared it with the president's son and replied glowingly to Powell, "I just spoke to Eric, and I told him you gave very important info." Thanks, Maria, Tony Romo. I got the memo, and I know it's very important because I can definitely read. Unrelated question, what happens when you swallow a paperclip? I don't feel good. Can I have a hug?
This filing shows the extent to which Fox hosts did not believe the that they were selling, which is completely fine if you work for QVC and you have to fill an hour on why a bejeweled squatty potty will change your life. But it's a bit more concerning when you pretend to be the news. But perhaps the most fascinating thing is how terrified major Fox figures were of losing their audience to more conspiracy-friendly networks like Newsmax, with Tucker Carlson at one point saying, an alternative like Newsmax could be devastating to us. They seem to understand that acknowledging Biden had won was alienating their viewers. Sean Hannity wrote to a producer after the network called the election for Biden, respecting this audience, whether we agree or not, is critical. Fox has spent the month spitting at them. To which the producer replied, right, our best minutes from last week were on the voting irregularities, which, remember, they all knew were bullshit. And look, on one hand, I kind of get it. We also face pressure to maintain our audience. It's just that we do it the old-fashioned way, by having integrity, self-respect, and the blind fortune of airing right after hit prestige dramas that people actually want to watch. It's not difficult. But multiple Fox hosts seem to see telling the truth as a potentially existential threat.
After Fox News reporter Jackie Henrick fact-checked a Trump tweet about votes being destroyed, Tucker Carlson texting his colleagues, please get her fired, seriously, what the F? It's measurably hurting the company, the stock price is down.
Look, as egregious as that is, it does definitely track, as the list of fireable offenses at Fox News seems to be making stock price go down or being a sexual monster for decades, parentheses, but only if people outside the company find out about it.
What does the Fox say?
The accountability for a news organization has always been that they would regulate so that they could protect their reputation as honest brokers or truth tellers. The anomaly here for Fox is they argue a standard that they themselves would never uphold. There's an accountability in most news organizations. If they find that there is a prejudice, or somebody has made a decision to air a falsehood purposefully, or has tried to twist something purely for a partisan, generally there will be some sort of recrimination, some sort of penalty. When it comes to Fox, there is none. Because the truth is, this helps them, as they say, in the primary. Maybe not in the general, but it helps them in the primary. It's rewarded. And they never hold their host to account. I can't tell you the shit they gave me when it was revealed that I met with Obama twice over 8 years. By the way, not revealed. It was in the visitor logs. And it wasn't to discuss how I could help the Obamas. It was him sort of saying to me, like, I think you're making young people cynical. You know, and it was his concern about that. Meanwhile, Sean Hannity and those people are literally strategizing with presidents and people on the phone. There is no accountability on that side. And that is what they rely on. They rely on working the refs and holding these other groups to a standard that they would never comply with. And by using that, it is a strategy to neuter what you consider to be opposition that could hurt your political movement. It's Orwellian.
What does the Fox say?
We also got threats to democracy. Speaker of the House and first successful butthole to mouth transplant, Kevin McCarthy. You should hear that boy whistle. Like a bird, just like a bird. Yesterday, we found out that McCarthy has given exclusive access to 41,000 hours of Capitol surveillance footage from the January 6th riots to Tucker Carlson. No! What are you doing? You can't give this footage to Tucker Carlson? Ever since January 6th, he's repeatedly downplayed the violent attack on the Capitol as vandalism and a forgettably minor outbreak by recent standards. Yeah, no biggie. I think all of us will always remember watching it on TV and thinking, this is forgettable. Plus, this is so irresponsible. The footage will reveal sensitive security information like congressional escape routes and secure holding areas and where the cameras are. But, I mean, he's Speaker of the House, and Kevin McCarthy clearly thought all this through. And as the Speaker, he calmed his worried colleagues with a statement he made today. Best speech I've ever heard him give. Now, Tucker's producers. Tucker's producers are already editing this mountain of footage for shows next week, and he claims he's determined to get to the truth, saying, by definition, this video will reveal it. No, by definition, 41,000 hours of footage can be edited to say whatever you want it to. I mean, look at these Good Samaritans repairing that window with a shield. And now they're peacefully leaving the Capitol. Now, with the right graphics, he could even make the Q shaman seem peaceful. But hey, if he gets to do it, so can we, which is why I took what seemed like 41,000 hours of Fox News footage to reveal the truth about Tucker.
Good evening. I'm Tucker Carlson. I behave like a jerk because I am a jerk. Everyone hates me. My show is a real problem in America. I'm a racist, a small backward hermit, and I also eat dogs.
Now, the worst part is he seems like a good guy.
That's not your way.
At least he's honest. At least he's honest, you know? The worst part of all of this is that Tucker doesn't even believe the lies he's been peddling about January 6th.
Here come old Ben. Well, bad news travels like wildfire. Good news travels slow. They all call me wildfire, 'cause everybody knows I'm bad news. Everywhere I go. Always getting in trouble. And I'm leaving little girls that hate to see me go. They tried to hang me in Oakland, and they did in Francisco. But I wouldn't choke, I broke the rope, and they had to let me go. 'Cause I'm bad news. Everywhere I go, always getting in trouble. And leaving little girls that hate to see me go. Now, from north to south, to east to west, the story is the same. From one state to another, I have to change my name, 'cause I'm bad news. Everywhere I go. Getting in trouble, and leaving little girls that show hate to see me go. Well, now I pick peaches in Georgia, I lumberjacked in Maine. I've been fired, and jailed any town you can name, 'cause I'm bad news. Everywhere I go, always getting into trouble. And I'm leaving little girls that hate.
Thanks for the songs this week from Husker Du, Sweet, Elvis, Talking Heads, and Johnny Cash. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Tuning Out the News. John Kirby, Major Garrett, Inside Edition, Joe Biden, John Oliver, and Stephen Colbert.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.